Hello, welcome back to The Social Disease. I'm Jasper.
And I'm Bridget.
And it is Pride Month.
Woo, happy Pride.
Yes, happy Pride, happy Pride. Unfortunately, I feel like the last few years, our Pride Month episodes have always focused, like, just by chance on an LGBT character. But unfortunately, that is not the case this year because no 80s Degrassi characters are canonically LGBT.
Yeah, not that we know of anyway. Or maybe Miss Avery. Still don't know.
I get the vibes from LD.
Oh yeah. I get the vibes from LD, and I also get the vibes from the group that did the TV show, The Best Kids. Oh my God, I forget what it is. When they did the they went on TV and were like trying to be really smart.
Kathleen's group?
Yeah, I think that whole group is LGBTQ to me.
Why?
I just felt it. Just watching it, I just felt it. You'll have to tr watch it again and let me know what you think.
I don't want Kathleen to be gay, personally.
No, sorry, not Kathleen, but everybody else. Everybody else.
I think who was in that group? I think it was Caitlin, Nancy, and Alex, maybe?
And there was also a black character that was in the group too.
Oh, that was probably Tim.
Yeah. I was getting vibes. I was like, what a group. But that's just for the sake of, trying to find some characters in there. Not everybody can be straight. I don't believe it.
Yes, fortunately, later Degrassi got more diverse, at least in the sexual and gender orientation respects.
Agreed.
Even though, as we mentioned last time, Degrassi Junior High is much more racially diverse than pretty much any other iteration of Degrassi.
It is so much more racially diverse, and they give lines to not just white characters. Like, I feel like sometimes TV shows try to like bump up their diversity, but then like never give lines, and it's just like faces in a crowd. But here, I feel like they're really, it's just like natural. It feels natural that their characters are diverse, and I appreciate that, especially for the time period.
The thing about Degrassi Junior High is it feels more like an actual school.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing too. It feels like a city school, which is what Degrassi is. It's supposed to be a city school.
Yeah. I feel like Degrassi Junior High has specific characters who are always in the background, like Nancy or Alex, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to talk briefly about the very short, silly plot that Alex has in this episode, but like, there's like probably five or six characters who are the background characters, maybe even more than that, where it's just like they never have plots, but they're always around, they're always in the background. And I feel like that just makes Degrassi feel more like a real school. It's like, oh yeah, in real school, you have your best friends, then you also have like, the side characters in your life who you see all the time, but maybe you're not super close with.
Yep, the reoccurring characters that pop in and out, and you're like, wow, I can't believe they're back. But like in Degrassi, yeah, you look at the classroom and you recognize the same kids in different, like, who's in what grade because they're in the classes. It's so
Yeah.
cool.
And they're sitting in the same chairs in every episode, like you would at a regular school. They're not changing which seat they're in.
Exactly. That's why I really do appreciate Degrassi Junior High for that. They really do a good job. And like you said, they pull the people off the street, right?
Yeah.
So they're just like, hey, random kids, let's come into Degrassi and act natural. And then they so did.
Let's make a TV show. But yeah, it is kind of a shame that 2000s plus Degrassi is not as diverse. Because especially for Pride Month, I just made a tweet about this, how Degrassi is pretty revolutionary for its LGBT representation. But in thinking about, the leaders of LGBT rights, really black trans women, really, Degrassi is not that great in that regard of LGBT characters of color.
Yeah.
So really the only LGBT characters of color are the love interests or the side characters, like Zane, Rasha. Marco had a black boyfriend whose name I don't remember.
I think Rasha definitely went from being a side character to like a full character, in my opinion.
Yeah, if Next Class continued, she definitely would have been a main character, but as it is, she's mostly just Zoe's girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But I absolutely agree with you. They need to do better. If they ever do a reboot, maybe one day.
Yes. Like, if the main character of Degrassi, the next generation, is not a black trans girl, I don't want it.
HBO, take it back.
Well, HBR already took it back.
I know. It's fine. One day.
Okay, so let's get into it. This episode is going to be pretty chill. We're starting off Degrassi Junior High Season 2. And we're going to be focusing on pretty much all the grade 7s. So today, we're going to be talking about Arthur and Yik, of course, Melanie and Kathleen, as well as a couple new characters, or, you know, slightly upgraded side characters, who each got one plotline each, and that is Michelle, Scooter, and Alex, who we are going to start with. So these are all very short, silly episodes, so we're just gonna run through them real quick. So for Michelle, we find out that she is a very shy person, and she is very anxious about giving her speech in Mr. Radish's class. I think the speech is just like anything you want to talk about. I don't know. But Michelle is very afraid of talking in front of everybody. So her best friend, Alexa, who is an icon, I'm so excited to talk about her more. But Alexa comes up with the idea to tell Mr. Radich that she lost her voice and so she won't be able to give her speech the next day. But Mr. Radich, of course, doesn't buy it. So Michelle ends up giving her speech to the class. She actually does a fantastic job. She does her speech about the fact that she is shy and she gets anxious getting in front of people, but she kills it and is very proud of herself. Michelle is actually one of my favorite characters in the future season, so we'll see how she develops from here. Okay, after that is Scooter. Scooter is a cute little new character this season. He's in the seventh grade, but he is like sixth grade age. He got accelerated because he's super smart. And he's kind of in the background throughout the season. And his first episode is that Scooter and Max, who is another little kid, I don't think he ever shows up again, but Scooter and Max are talking about Dungeons and Dragons. And Arthur and Yik, of all people, are like, Dungeons and Dragons, you guys are nerds. So Scooter and Max are like insecure that they are the nerds of Degrassi. So they're like, oh, how could we be cool? And they see Rick on his fancy bicycle. And they're like, Rick is the coolest kid in school. Let's copy him. They bump into him in the hallway one day, and Rick's cigarettes fall out of his bag. So they're like, oh, Rick smokes? Maybe we should smoke, then we'll be cool. So Max is the one, I think, who gets cigarettes from his brother, or I think he stole them from his dad or something. So he brings some cigarettes to school, and they smoke them in the stall at the boys' room. They don't have a great time. They're like, wow, I hate smoking. I'm never going to do that again. And that's really it. They don't really have anything about like, oh, it's fine that we're nerds. I like being a nerd. Nothing like that. Okay, and finally, Alex. Alex is the grade 7 school treasurer. And he is on a mission to find ways to fundraise for the end of year dance. So throughout this episode, he comes up with ideas like shoe shining, a casino night, the OG Vegas night. I was like, ooh, Degrassi really loves their Vegas nights. And finally, a walkathon. And throughout the episode, someone is like, Alex, do you want to just know what they did last year to get money? He's like, no, I want to figure it out myself. But at the end, he gives up and is like, okay, what did they do last year? And they tell him that all they did was ask Doris, the school secretary, for more money. And he's like, oh, shucks. And that's it.
And those are the one-offs.
Yeah, those are the one-offs of season two.
Yeah, let's start with Michelle. When I was watching, I had no idea that this was even a one-off. I just, when she went to Radich and was like, I can't talk, I was like, wait a second, does she have a plot right now? And I just like missed it. And then she gets up and gives that whole speech about being shy, and I was like, oh, I can relate, I feel that. But I also didn't realize that this was happening. I didn't realize this is like a C plot right now that was going on.
Yeah, what I noticed about all three of these episodes, or all three of these plots, is that they all occur in episodes where the A plot is a little more spicy. Let me look at my notes. So the Michelle plot happens in the episode where Caitlin has epilepsy and she has a seizure at her sleepover. The scooter episode happens with Kathleen's alcoholic mom. And the Alex plot happens in the episode where Mr. Colby is sexually harassing Lucy and Susie.
Yes, in my notes I wrote, Caitlin not telling anyone she had seizures and having a seizure at a party is rough. And then my next note is, to be honest, didn't realize Michelle even had a side plot till she lost her voice. I'm just like, oh, that's happening. It's cute though. I don't mind her. I think that they probably should have done like a little bit more. I feel like I didn't even know when I missed it in the beginning or when this was even going to happen, but I guess when that other random kid was giving a speech about TV, and I was like, what is going on?
Yeah. Like, I think these side plots are just kind of to break up the more dramatic parts of the A plots, which, as we know, Degrassi loves to do. So none of these plots, like, really land for me. They're just kind of filler.
Yeah. This one, Michelle's was like, eh. Scooters, I thought was kind of funny because he was like, when the nerds are calling you nerds, you know it's bad. I think he's so funny. I love his character.
Yeah, he's super cute. This is more in the Joey episode, but there's the whole thing where like Scooter of all people is the person who befriends the big bully Dwayne.
Yeah.
And then when Dwayne beats up Joey, Scooter's like, you're an asshole. I don't want to be friends with you anymore. It's like, yes, Scooter, tell it to him.
I thought that was so good. I really was wondering where they were going with Dwayne and Scooter. And then I realized, oh, Scooter's just a kid at the end that's like, you're a bully. And then left. And that was it. I was like, oh, okay. That's cute, I guess. And then I think Alex's side plot is pretty much equal to Michelle for me because I didn't really know what was gonna happen. I was kind of like, why is he so worried about this? And then yeah, the whole problem with Lucy and was it Susie too?
Yeah.
Lucy and Susie was going on, so I'm like, Alex, get out of here, I don't even care right now. Like, there's so much happening with the substitute teacher, and Alex like, how are we gonna raise money? I'm like, Alex, get out. This isn't about you.
None of these episodes, I guess they're like introductions to these characters. I know Michelle in particular has a lot in the future, but I don't think Scooter and Alex really ever get promoted above just the background character thing that we just talked about. So it's kind of telling that these plots are in such deep episodes. Because it's like, hey, we don't want to involve our main cast because they're already busy with actual important things. So we're just going to use our background characters for a little bit.
I was going to ask you, so out of Michelle, Scooter, and Alex, do all of them end up becoming bigger characters or is it just Michelle?
I think it's just Michelle.
Okay. I could see why they would want to give them their own plots because maybe like they were going to build them up in the next season, but if one out of three was going to become a bigger character, nah, I can see why they just wanted to break up the bigger plot episodes.
Yeah, and I feel like Michelle was probably the most memorable of these three plots in particular. Like, I feel
see,
like
that's interesting. I don't know if I think Scooter's plot for me was the most entertaining, at least. I liked his the best.
Yeah, it was definitely the most entertaining, but I feel like the most time was given to Michelle's plot.
Okay, I don't know if I agree, considering I didn't know what was going on for like half of the episode, but but I can also see if you knew Michelle was going to be a bigger character, it would be more, it would wor be m worth more watching. No,
Yeah,
it would be
I guess
worth
it.
more to watch.
Yeah, I guess it jumps out more that it's like, oh, like I think Michelle has been in the background before this, but this is the first time where I think we even learn her name.
Yes, that's I think also why I was thrown off, because I was like, who is this?
Yeah,
Whereas
so I think.
Scooter was introduced and Alex was too.
Right. So I think this is like, oh, this is Michelle's introduction. Like, this is the first time we actually meet her. And knowing that she's more important later on, it like stands out more.
Absolutely. Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
So yeah, otherwise the three characters are cute, the plots are cute. There's not much else to them.
Nah, these are like prime middle school C plots.
Yes.
But I appreciate them.
Do you want to move on to Arthur and Yick?
I sure do.
Okay. So the Dream Team are back once again. Their first plot is actually about Scooter himself. So Arthur and Yick are surprised when Itty Bitty Scooter joins their class. They're like, how is he so short? They find out he's actually, you know, a year younger than them. He's just super smart, so he's accelerated. So because Arthur and Yick are Arthur and Yick, they decide to bully Scooter for being small and younger than them, I guess, to what's the phrase? Push it forward, from how they were bullied earlier in the year by Joey when they first got to Degrassi.
Like a little bit of hazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the initiation you need to get to Degrassi. So they're kind of like teasing him throughout the episode, but also in this episode, Arthur and Yick have a little water gun war going on, where they're just shooting each other with water guns, and they call a truce. But at the end of the episode, Scooter, behind their back, shoots both of them with a water gun, and this causes Arthur and Yick to be like, Yick, why'd you shoot me? Arthur, why'd you shoot me? Not knowing that it's Scooter who pulled the prank on them. So Scooter wins in the end, as he should. Okay, after that is that Arthur is embarrassed because he has been having a lot of wet dreams lately and he doesn't know who to talk to. He doesn't feel comfortable talking to his dad. Of course, he doesn't want to talk to his teachers. So Arthur's talking to Yick about this. He's like, I don't know what to do. But of course, at the same time, they hear Melanie walk into class talking about Dr. Sally's radio show for teens to talk about puberty and sex and things. The iconic Dr. Sally. I always forget that she's also in Degrassi Junior High. She is a legend. But anyway, Arthur and Yick, they decide to take their boombox radio to the phone booth to listen to Dr. Sally's show so that they could call her for like the Q&A portion. So they call Dr. Sally. Arthur chickens out when he gets on the line. So Yick takes the phone and is like, my friend is having wet dreams. Does that make him a pervert? And Dr. Sally is like, oh, that is completely normal when guys first go through puberty. It's completely fine. You're not a pervert. And once hearing that, Arthur and Yick like skip off into the sunset is kind of the vibe I got. They're like, yes, my wet dreams are okay. Let me be happy and run down the road. Very fun. And then finally, Arthur finds a stray dog, like just on the street, I guess, and he decides to adopt it and bring it home. But he brings it to school first. He names it Phil, but of course he gets caught with it and gets in trouble with the principal, Mr. Lawrence, and is like, don't bring this dog back. But at the same time, there's like things going on at home. His mom dropped the bomb that she is getting married. We'll talk about that a bit more with Stephanie, but he is not able to leave it at home because of this. So he brings it to school again, leaves it in the boiler room where the custodian finds it, and once again gets Arthur in trouble with the principal, and he ends up getting a week's detention. And that's kind of it on Arthur's end. The rest of this episode also kind of has the fact that Arthur's mom is trying to get custody of Stephanie and Arthur, but Arthur likes the fact that he's living with his dad, so he's kind of mad that nobody cares about his feelings. So he and Stephanie kind of have a little sibling moment there where they talk about how shitty their parents are. And that's kind of it for Arthur and Yik. I guess Yik does have the quick little date episode with Melanie, but we'll talk about that in a couple minutes.
When I was watching this, I was thinking about how much you were totally loving the sex line plot, because you love a good embarrassing middle school plot.
I mean, also Dr. Sally.
Dr. Sally. Did we have anything like this? I feel like no.
Like a radio show to ask your questions?
Right? That didn't exist. That's such a 90s thing.
Yeah, like we had like a boys and girls health night, I remember.
Oh my god, you're right. We did have like that.
The gym teachers would tell us to stay abstinent.
I totally forgot about that. Oh, that was so awkward. Everyone was like sitting with their moms or their dads. It was so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one was, I don't know, fine.
Yeah, they definitely had less than they did last season. Like they were, like I said, they were the B-plot kings of season one, and that is definitely not the case here. Especially Yik. Like Yik, he's with Arthur through all of this, but he doesn't really have anything for himself this season besides his date with Melanie, which I was kind of disappointed about.
Yeah, I really liked Yik, and I thought that he would have more this time around, because I don't know, there's so many things that they could have done. They could have been like, did what JT and Toby did, where like one became popular and one wasn't, and I feel like that could have really happened for like Yik and Arthur. I think that they could have done more with their like friendship or something, but yeah, they kind of kept it low-key for them this season.
Yeah, I feel like this season in particular, they really spread out the plot lines between every single character they could get their hands on.
Yeah, I think the definitely different than last season, where like each character kind of had their own plot and then that was like it, where now we're kind of seeing who the main characters are and who's not. Like, they didn't even bring Caitlin and Rick in until like episode 4, I feel like, or 3. It was like a while in.
And but like with Stephanie felt like less important this season also. Like, they really kind of spread things around a bit more.
Yeah, definitely. I don't even know. Their plots weren't very good. I feel bad saying it.
Well, how do you feel about Arthur's wet dreams?
Oh, geez. I don't know. I was just kind of confused why he thought something was wrong with him. I'm like, did you pay attention at all in any health class you were ever given? Nobody else around you did either. Like, that's why I was, like, confused.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, at this point he hadn't even had that conversation in class or with his parents.
At seventh grade?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what sex ed was like in the 80s.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. You bring up a good point. I thought it's definitely, you know, fits in line with penis pump and yes. my least favorite was, because who else? Oh, Claire and her weird vampire wet dreams. I was like, no, I don't want that. I'm good.
Once again, I mean, I've said this every single time. There's an awkward puberty plot. This is just what makes Degrassi special, because no other show would address something like this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And could I do without it? Probably, but that's just who Degrassi is.
Yes, exactly.
So I'll let it slide. But it was kind of cute that they like called the radio and tried to find out what was wrong with him.
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of funny.
Yeah, and Yik is such a good friend to Arthur once again.
Oh my gosh, the fact that he was like, all right, we're doing this, let's go, come on. Like, yeah. He was the one leading the way, and it wasn't even his problem. Mm-hmm. Which was cute.
Yes.
Out of the three of them, the three plots that they had, I liked the dog one, I think, the best. I felt like we're getting into some shenanigans here.
Well, yeah, I feel like the whole dog thing was a little weird in the context of the family drama that was also going on.
Well, I think it was happening because of the family trauma. Like, I think because Arthur, Stephanie were watching her go through all this like suicidal stuff because her parents are like trying to go through the divorce and they're trying to pick sides and like she's really depressed and going through it, even though Arthur's like he kind of goes off. Like, we'll talk about it more with Stephanie, but he does go off and say, like, well, what about me? I'm the one that had to make the most changes. I'm the one that had to like move. I'm the one who had to whatever. And I think that the dog was kind of like a coping thing. I think it was like, I want something to take care of and I want something that's mine and like permanent. And that's why he like kept it for so long, I think.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about that. It just kind of, to me, when I was watching it, it felt just kind of like a comic relief thing, kind of similar to the one-offs that we just talked about, with like Stephanie saying she wants to kill herself every 5 seconds, and it's like, look, Arthur has a cute little puppy.
Yeah, Stephanie was pissing me off in that because she's like, why me? And Arthur's like, why me? But like keeping it to himself.
But I do like your analysis of why Arthur was so hung up on the dog. Because the reason why he got in trouble with the dog the second time was because he wanted to keep it at his mom's house, but he's like, my mom's being a kind of an asshole right now, so I don't want to leave it with my mom.
Yeah, and then the fact that he kept going back because he didn't want to abandon it. And like he probably felt like he was kind of being abandoned because like Stephanie doesn't give a shit about him. His dad's the one that's like trying to ruin every quote unquote ruin everything. And he's the one living with his dad. Like his mom's moving on. So I can see why he would be like, I want this dog.
Yeah, it was also a super cute dog.
It was so cute. I was like, is that a German Shepherd puppy? I was trying to figure out. Its ears were so big.
I know.
Or it was a corgi. I don't know. It was so cute.
And he named it Phil. Like, aw.
If I found a dog like that, immediately keeping it. No doubts. Luna, my cat, would have to chill.
I don't think she would be happy.
She would hate it. She would be so mad. But all three of us could cuddle. It'd be fine.
Yeah, that's really all I got. We'll definitely talk more about the Arthur Stephanie family situation with Stephanie next time.
Yeah.
So look forward to that because I have lots of thoughts about how Stephanie's mom is a psycho.
Oh yeah, that I'm really excited to talk more about our next group, honestly. I know it's like we're not even halfway through. We're a little bit halfway through this one, but gotta get through the smaller plots to get to the bigger ones. You know how it goes.
Yes. Okay. So next up, we have Melanie. And is this the first love triangle in all of Degrassi history?
I think so.
Did Stephanie? No, she was just hung up on wheels. There wasn't a third person in that.
No, and then I mean, this one beats Stephanie and her being weirdly in love with Simon, and then Simon's like dating Alexa. That doesn't happen till after this.
Oh yeah, I guess the Stephanie Simon Alexa love triangle, but that's very one-sided on Stephanie's part.
Yeah, so I think this is definitely the first love triangle.
Yes. Okay, let's get into it. So, after their ice skating date last season, Yik decides to ask Melanie to go to the movies. She says yes. Yik wants to see like this horror movie, but Melanie is like, "No, let's go see this rom-com instead." And when Kathleen is like, why are you making him go see a rom-com? That's so lame. She's like, oh, we're just friends. I don't want to go see a horror movie with one of my friends. But of course, she still has a crush on Snake from last season. That's continuing. And of course, Snake then finally gets the courage to ask Melanie out, even though his friends, Wheels and Joey, are making fun of him for having a crush on a seventh grader. And Melanie, of course, says yes, even though it's for the same exact day that she said yes to go out with Yik. And in a turn of events, she agrees to go to the horror movie with Snake, and even though, once again, she wants to just go see the rom-com. So she ends up calling Yik. She cancels, saying that her mom isn't letting her go out with him. So she full-on lies to him, But Yik and Arthur decide to go see the horror movie instead. They're like, well, now I have a free Friday night. So in classic Degrassi fashion, Melanie and Snake are in the front row of the movie. Arthur and Yik show up. And Melanie's trying to hide herself to kind of save face from being an asshole to Yik. And of course, Wheels and Joey also show up to the movie to embarrass Snake on his date. So this calls even more attention to Snake and Melanie. And Yik, of course, sees her and is like, Melanie, what are you doing here? She gets caught. She feels bad and tries to apologize. But the episode kind of ends with her losing Yik as a friend. And since Wheels and Joey kind of ruined Snake's time, that kind of ruined their whole dynamic with that.
And that's that.
Yep. Melanie. Yeah, Melanie doesn't have anything else for herself in the season. Of course, she is round throughout everything else. What else does she do? I know she calls Mr. Colby hot.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh. Sexy.
I was like, I don't know what you're seeing, Melanie, but
I think Melanie is hilarious.
She is.
I love Melanie. I think she is, every time she comes on the screen, I'm always like, she's gonna say something so funny. She always puts Kathleen like in her place.
Yes.
And she just is so, I like her a lot. And when Snake was like, oh, I like Melanie's smile, and then I like looked at her, I'm like, she's cute. I'm into this like little love triangle thing that's going on right now. But I guess the question that I have for you is, did Melanie do the wrong thing?
Yes.
Really? I don't think so.
What? I mean, okay, so here's the thing. It's fine that Melanie isn't into Yik. Like, that's completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
But just on a basic human decency level, she could have just scheduled her date with Snake for Saturday.
No, you know? I know. But, like, let's take that out. Imagine that, like, wasn't a possibility.
But yeah. But besides that, like, she already said yes to Yik. They're friends. It's not like she couldn't go out with Snake another time, even if it wasn't the next day, you know? Or even mm-hmm. just, like, a movie isn't that long. Maybe her mom wouldn't let her out that late. But she could have, like, you know, gone out with Yik for the rom-com and gone out with Snake for the horror movie, you know? Would have been fine. She definitely should not have lied to Yik, if nothing else.
See, here's my thought on it. Obviously, like, Yik ending up at the movie, at the same movie, whatever, that was, like, a whole hot mess. I don't know why she didn't think, like, oh, why wouldn't he go see the movie anyway? But whatever. I don't think she owed Yik anything. Like, sure, they're friends, but obviously the intention from his side was to be more than friends. And the only reason she said yes was because of attention. Like, she knew. And that's kind of shitty, but I also don't think she, like, owed him anything. You know what I mean? I feel like her going out with him when she didn't want to would have almost been, like, worse than her canceling on him. That's my point of view. Was it, like, of course, dramatic when they all showed up? Like, yeah. But I mean, I don't think she did anything wrong. Like, I really don't. I feel like it would be kind of like if you're going to go on a date with someone that you didn't really like and then someone that you really liked asked you out, I think it's fair to cancel on the person you were just going for attention anyway.
Well, yes, Yik has a crush on Melanie and she knows that. Would Melanie be leading Yik on by going out with him as, like, a friend? Like,
yes.
I don't know.
I think so. I think she knew he switched the movie to go see the movie that she wanted to see, which was a romantic movie. Like, and then something better came along and, like, is it shitty? I guess, but I also feel like it would have been shittier for her to go out with Yik when she didn't even want to.
It's not that she didn't want to go out with Yik. She just doesn't have feelings for him.
Yeah, but she only said yes because she was like, I've got nothing else going on. Like, I don't know. I think that I don't think her being honest and saying, hey, Yik, I don't really want to go out with you tonight because I'm going to go out with Snake because I actually like him, but we're friends, so that's cool, right? Would be way worse than her just being like, my mom can't let me go, sorry. It just was like, bad circumstances that he ended up being in the same row at the same movie. I feel like that so would have happened. Like, I'm pretty sure that's probably happened at some point, honestly. But I think that's my hot take. I don't think she did anything wrong.
She, okay, I will hold firm that she should not have lied to Yik.
Okay.
It's
Do you
fine.
Think that she should have said, hey, Yik, I'm going out with someone else instead, or I want to go out with someone else instead? Can we, like, move our plans? Like, is that what she should have said?
I mean, okay, maybe save his feelings by not saying I'm going out with somebody else because I like them better. That would be kind of, right. Just say, oh, something came up.
My mom said I can't go. She did that.
No, like, I made other plans with friends, you know, because that's the truth.
But do you still think he would have been sad when he showed up and she was there with Snake?
Yes, of course. But at least she didn't lie to him.
I guess. I'm sticking with. I don't think she did anything wrong. I think that if Kathleen wasn't her friend, she wouldn't have felt as bad about it. Kathleen makes her feel like shit. So, like, that's...
I mean, I think Yik made her feel bad when he had that little puffy dog face on when he saw them.
Yeah, because she knew that Yik, like, it's such seventh grade drama. It's so funny. But I don't think she did anything wrong. It, like, stinks that his feelings got hurt, but I think it's better that she didn't lead him on, in my opinion.
That's probably for the best. I just don't think she should have lied to him.
Okay. Agree to disagree. Finally, at least there's something to come out of this part, this plot.
Okay, but who is the better couple? Melanie and Yik, or Melanie and Snake?
I think Melanie and Snake.
You only think?
Well, because we didn't really get much from, honestly, they probably equally spent the same amount of time together in that episode, her and Yik and her and Snake. But I think that she genuinely likes Snake, and Snake genuinely likes her. It's annoying that his friends are assholes, but I do think that he would be, like, really nice to her. And I don't doubt that Yik would be nice to her, but I do think that Yik is still in that, like, immature place. Not that eighth grade is much more mature, but I just don't think so. I think Snake needs love.
Well, Snake definitely has, you know, a better head on his shoulders than Yik does.
Yeah, he's not shooting his friends with water guns in the hallway, but yeah. He's not hiding dogs in the boiler room either, that I know of.
Like, what's the most immature thing Snake did? He gave in to Joey and Wheels taking the car. That wasn't even his fault.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. I also think it's hard because Snake hasn't had anything on his own yet, where Yik has had more. So we, like, know him better.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, who do you like better?
Snake and Melanie.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Mick or Snellany? That's so good.
Hashtag Team Snellany.
Right? Love it.
Is there anything else for Melanie, even, like, small things, besides Mr. Colby being hot?
Which I was going to say, I think Melanie is just a funny gal. I'm trying to think if she was in any other things, but I didn't write down anything else for her. I guess the other thing, like, you have written down is that she wasn't part of Kathleen's episode about, like, the TV appearance.
You mean the alcoholic mom?
Yeah, basically. Which makes me wonder if she, like, did she know? Did she not know? Like, that's what I was going to bring up. It was kind of referenced earlier on. Like, I know we're about to talk about Kathleen, but there was a point where I think Melanie was like, oh, can we go to your house? And she was like, no. And Melanie was like, we never go to your house. So I feel like that was, like, a brief mention in, like, the episode before or a few episodes prior leading up to Kathleen. So, like, we know that Kathleen and Melanie hang out. We just know that somehow Kathleen has always gotten out of Melanie, like, coming to her house.
I didn't catch that, actually. Might need to rewatch.
Yeah, I feel like it was just it was in the hallway in passing at some point. Melanie was like, you're weird. I think it was about practicing for the play. I don't remember. Something like that.
I'll have to check. But do you want to go into Kathleen?
Yeah, because she actually has like a very interesting plot this season.
Yes. Okay. So Kathleen and a few others, we already mentioned them. It was Caitlin, Nancy, and Tim. Maybe Alex too. They're going to be on a quiz show representing Degrassi. So the night before going on this quiz show, they decide to practice by watching one of the old episodes of this quiz show. But apparently Kathleen is the only person who has a VCR at her house. So iconic. Kathleen, of course, is hesitant to have people at her house because, as we learned at the beginning of the episode, her mom drinks all the time. Kathleen tries to come up with an excuse like, oh, my mom's sick. The kids say, oh, we'll be quiet, blah, 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 blah. So they eventually end up at Kathleen's house and watch the tape. And unfortunately, Kathleen's mom comes down the stairs super drunk and kind of starts being very suspicious, kind of overbearing with all of Kathleen's friends. So all the kids decide to leave pretty much when Kathleen's mom is being messy. So Caitlin, she goes to talk to Rick, since Caitlin knows that Rick was in a similar uncomfortable parent situation recently with his dad, and Rick tells Caitlin to stay out of it. On the day of the taping, Kathleen forgets her Degrassi school sweater, so she calls her mom to bring it, but of course her mom doesn't show up because she's trashed, and Kathleen is pretty much all alone at this TV show taping. Rick, being the awesome guy that he is, lends Kathleen his sweater so that she has it, and Kathleen is pretty instrumental in helping Degrassi win the TV episode. So Kathleen is super proud of herself, but she's kind of sad that her mom didn't show up. So Rick offers to walk Kathleen home. He doesn't want her walking home alone in the dark. Super cute. And he ends up giving Kathleen some advice about how he got in contact with a social worker because of his dad and how Kathleen can maybe do the same thing. At first, Kathleen is like, oh no, my mom's fine. I don't know what you're talking about. But when she does go home at the end of the night, she calls her mom out for being too drunk and not showing up to support her. And they end up getting into a fight and her mom slaps her. So the next day, Kathleen goes to talk to Rick and say, yeah, I'm going to get in contact with a social worker to get this figured out because this is not okay. And I don't think we really get any follow-up to that this season. I'm assuming, I mean, I don't even remember. I don't know if she ever leaves her mom's place. But yeah, that's all we get from this season.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I guess I understand why they gave her this plot. They really wanted to explain why she's so bitchy all the time, I'm guessing. Because like leading up to this, like I can't stand her. I feel like everything she says is just so negative, Nancy. I want to be like, stop talking. Or just like so rude. And like, fine. I get it. Her home life sucks. I was also getting Ellie vibes the whole time. Were you?
100%. 100%. I mean, alcoholic right? Mom and absent dad. That is the definition of Ellie.
Right? Total key there. Except, obviously, Kathleen was not self-harming or showing it at all in any way leading up to it. But I guess it is interesting in a sense that it kind of adds to why Kathleen comes off so much more mature. Because I do think that she is mature. She's annoying, but I think she is mature out of her friends because she's a seventh grader, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would even guess that she would be like an eighth grader, and she's so smart and she like is always like, you know, on top of her shit. So I get it now that we get like her mom is not there. So she has to be, I mean, her mom's there physically, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely interesting in that this is really the first instance of, you know, the trope we've talked about of the mean girl has like a dark past, or, you know, I guess in the case of most of the mean girls, they have something bad happen to them and that makes them nicer. Whereas with this, it's Kathleen is mean. The implication is that she's mean because her home life is so shitty.
I was going to say, that's kind of what we saw with Rick too. Like, Rick was not mean, but he just was very like closed off. And then we find out it's because his dad is an alcoholic too. So, like you said, they're not giving her the mean thing happening out of nowhere. Like, it's been happening. Not the mean thing, the bad thing to cause her to be mean.
Right. Whereas, like, the newer Degrassi characters, they, like, Paige, you know, Paige and Holly J become nicer after their traumatic things, you know? Not, mm-hmm. like, not, like, fully nice, but I feel like after we learn this about Kathleen and she supposedly gets help, not that we see that at this point, but Kathleen is still a super bitch after this episode, right? Like, I really noticed that in the Spike episode where Spike is getting kicked out of school and Kathleen is like, yeah, maybe she should leave. Like, she's a bad influence on us little seventh graders. It's like, Kathleen, what the fuck?
Yeah, I feel like she started off the season. It might have been her. I can't remember who said it, but they were talking about sex or they were talking about how someone was hot. And Kathleen was like, oh, you want to end up like Spike? I was like, yeah. All right, girl, take a step back. Like, I don't even Spike didn't you want to end up like Spike. Chill.
Yeah, so she's still super judgmental even after we learn this about her. So that's interesting compared to, like I said, the newer Degrassi characters where they kind of soften at least a little bit after we learn more about them or like something happens to them, you know?
Yeah. I do think your note about how Ellie wasn't mean, besides like to Manny, obviously, because she like loved Craig, but Ellie wasn't mean. And I think it's because in this situation, you have one or two options. You can take it out on yourself or you can take it out on other people. And I think Ellie chose to take it out on herself and Kathleen chooses to take it out on other people.
Oh, yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Thank you. That was really deep of me.
Yeah, because even though I did make the note that Ellie is mean to Manny, that's mostly after all of Ellie's parent issues are resolved. So.
Yeah, that's more of a jealousy with the Craig situation, if anything. Like, that, I don't think it's connected.
No, not really.
Do you want to know your opinion on the end of that episode where Kathleen comes in, she gives Rick the sweater, Rick's like, oh, I walked her home, and Caitlin just, like, does, like, an exorcist, like, head turnaround. I was like, you walked her home? And then they're just, like, laughing together. Like, what do you think about that? Do you feel like they were gonna have, like, a love triangle?
That definitely seemed like where it was going. We do know that Rick doesn't come back after the season, so nothing ever comes of this.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, obviously they were leading to that, where, like, Rick was being super nice to Kathleen. Like, you know, probably the first person who's ever been nice to Kathleen in her life, honestly.
You're so... Besides Melanie.
I mean, Melanie's nice to her, but in, like, a...
Melanie, like, doesn't take her shit.
Yeah, but, like, exactly. It's, like, Melanie isn't kind to her. She's friendly to her in, like, a friend way where they're, like, shooting the shit, you know? But it's not, like, she's getting genuine kindness, you know?
Okay, you're right. I can see that. That's a good point, actually. Because I was, like, thinking that, okay, Kathleen and Rick are connecting on that level of they have similar parents. You know, he walked her home. But I still think that he likes Caitlin.
Yeah, I definitely... Kathleen obviously liked Rick after he was so nice to her. I don't know if Rick felt anything for Kathleen. He was just being a good guy.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But yeah, you're so right. Like, she definitely was like, oh, someone's nice to me. And like, it's so funny to think about last season, how judgmental she was. And she kicked him out of environmental club, basically.
Right.
And now she's all buddy-buddy with him.
Right.
Crazy.
But yeah, fortunately, we didn't get anything from Rick from this season either, really. Besides this, I think he helps Caitlin a little bit with her epilepsy.
He's kind of like a supporter in a sense, but without really, because that's the thing, this epilepsy episode happened before this.
Yeah.
So this was the most we got out of Rick. If anything, I think it was like episode 2 where he was just in the background. I was like, oh my God, I forgot. Is he going to be in this?
Yeah, we always see Rick on his fancy bicycle. Like, I've never seen a bicycle design like that.
Mm-hmm.
I always notice it when he's, like, riding his bicycle in the front yard of the school. So I see that probably happens once an episode. So he's always around, but we don't really get any follow-up about he's living with his brother, right?
Yeah, because Caitlin asks him about his dad being, he's like, oh, she's like, oh, you know, you had those problems with your dad. And he's like, I still have the problems with my dad. That's why I'm living with my brother.
Yeah.
So I think that that's really cute that they kind of paired up because that happened in Degrassi too. But I can't think off the top of my head who that happened with.
With what?
Like where there was someone unexpectedly, like Kathleen and Rick, like never really crossed paths in like a friendship way until they both realize they're going through the same thing. And I'm trying to remember who that happened to similarly, but I can't think
Maybe
about it
Ellie
right.
and Craig?
Maybe. We'll see. If it ever pops into my mind, I'll bring it up next episode.
How do you feel about Caitlin kind of taking the initiative to be concerned about Kathleen?
I'm not surprised. If
Yeah.
she's anything like Emma, because that's kind of who we compare them to, like Emma always put her freaking head in everybody else's business. She was
Yeah.
like always there. So even when Rick was like, you gotta butt out, she was like, I am not butting out. But also, Caitlin's just like a kind soul. I think she is my favorite, even though they haven't given her a lot after Melanie.
Yeah. As we see in the Spike editorial episode, Caitlin does have many Emma qualities of not minding her own business. But I do think in this case with Kathleen, it was warranted.
I do also think that it shows Caitlin's personality because she knew that Kathleen was going behind her back and talking all this shit after she had a seizure. And
Yeah.
Kathleen was like, she was foaming at the mouth. I wouldn't share a pop with her. Like, this girl had a freaking seizure, not like I don't even know. And now it's the Caitlin's the one that's like stepping up trying to like make sure that Kathleen like is okay, which is just shows that Caitlin is just so kind.
So with that said, let's go into Caitlin.
Even though we didn't know we were going to do it, but now it's a surprise.
Do you want to maybe just do the epilepsy episode? Because
Yeah, why don't we do just the epilepsy episode and then do the other one with Spike
Yeah, that's
when
what
we
I'm
do it
thinking.
with Spike. We could split Caitlin. I think that's fine.
Yeah, okay. So let's just talk about the epilepsy episode with Caitlin, just because her newspaper episode is really about Spike and how Spike is getting kicked out of Degrassi. So we'll talk about that a bit more in the context of Spike. Because really the main thing in that is that Caitlin is, as we just said, kind of not minding her own business. Even though she's supporting Spike, she isn't really considering Spike's feelings, which I think is kind of similar to this whole Kathleen butting in thing that we just talked about. So we could just talk briefly about her epilepsy, because that involves kind of this group of characters with her peers in grade seven. So at the beginning of this episode, we find out that Caitlin has been diagnosed with epilepsy, but she is reluctant to take her medication for it because she feels fine. Throughout the episode, she is auditioning for the school play for the lead role against Kathleen. I think they both do a pretty good job of auditioning, and everyone seems pretty sure that Caitlin is going to get the part. Susie, that weekend, is having a sleepover for her birthday, and they're all having a good time. They do a little, what's the word? Like a
Seance.
Yeah, a seance. They do a seance where they're trying to contact, I think, Kathleen's dog or something. And Caitlin starts having a seizure in front of everyone. Everyone kind of starts freaking out, but she ends up being fine. I don't know if she goes to the hospital or anything, but like she's fine at the end of the weekend. So when they go back to school on Monday, Kathleen is being super mean to Caitlin about having epilepsy. Caitlin starts being super insecure about the fact that Kathleen is bullying her, especially when Kathleen ends up getting the lead role of the play and Caitlin gets the servant role to Kathleen. So Caitlin decides to quit the play because she's insecure. She doesn't want to be a servant to Kathleen. But when she tells her mom this, her mom encourages her that she shouldn't let her epilepsy make her decisions for her. And she ends up returning to the play. Rick, throughout the episode, is also kind of giving her some encouragement to not quit and to kind of stick it to Kathleen.
So this was very interesting for them to give Caitlin. I feel like they gave her this to kind of keep her in as like a main character, because this is like a pretty serious thing to give someone and to like keep consistently, which I'm sure that they never bring it up again after this, right?
Yeah, like Caitlin ends up being on the show for, you know, 30 more years, and I don't think her epilepsy is ever an issue. I'm sure they mention it some more in Degrassi Junior High, but it's never a thing in The Next Generation.
Yeah, and I do give them props for introducing this, because this is such a like a serious thing. Like, this happens to so many people, and I don't think Degrassi ever does seizures again, right?
I don't think so.
They like kind of try to do diabetes and then gave up, so I feel like they don't love to do medical things that they have to like keep up with, which I get. That is a lot of consistency for a character. I do wish personally that they explained that her zoning out was also a form of epilepsy. Like, that is a form of seizure. They never really addressed that.
I think they showed that pretty well.
They showed it, but there was never like a discussion on what was happening. Because like Caitlin didn't even, you know, obviously she doesn't know that she's zoning out. But then other people are telling her. And there isn't really, I feel like if you're a child in middle school watching, you would never assume that that would be a seizure. Because I think everybody thinks seizures are what she ends up having at the sleepover.
Yeah.
That's my only complaint about it. I think everything else was done well.
Yeah, I guess there could have been like a discussion about the fact that her zoning out was part of her epilepsy. But I feel like they showed that pretty well in the fact that, you know, it happened 2 or 3 times, and each time she was like, what are you talking about? I've been here the whole time.
Yeah, I just remember when I was in middle school that I didn't even know that was a form of seizure until one of my friends had that happening, and she was like, that's what a seizure is. I was like, what? No, I thought seizures were you like flail around on the ground. And she's like, nope. I'm like, okay. So I guess if you have some like prior knowledge too, you like understand what that is.
Yeah, but I feel like they didn't need to explicitly say it, because I think they showed it pretty well.
But what I'm saying is that if you're like 12 years old watching this, are you really going to know that that's what's happening?
I don't know.
that's kind of what I'm getting at. But I do think that they showed why you should tell people you have epilepsy pretty well, because all those girl, I think that scene was awesome where they were showing, oh, one girl knew what was going on because her aunt had epilepsy, but everybody else was kind of like, oh, I heard you have to stick something in her mouth, oh, I heard you have to put her on her back, like all the wrong things. And that just shows how if you don't know what's what you're supposed to do, you could easily like really hurt someone, unfortunately, if yeah. That's happening.
Yeah, for sure.
So I thought that was done really well, and it kind of just proved further that it's not something you need to be embarrassed about. Like, it's something you just need to tell someone, and like you can, you know, maintain it with the meds if you just like keep on it, which I liked.
Yes. And I guess she is on her meds for the rest of her life, because it's never an issue again.
Yep, I guess so. Which is interesting. But I also hate that Kathleen is just so insensitive towards her about it. Or I guess behind her back about it.
Yeah, like what did Kathleen say? She was like, I thought I was going to die or something.
Yeah, and she's like, I wouldn't drink her soda. Yeah. It's like, oh my god, no one's asking you to. Like, you're not going to catch epilepsy. Gosh, I was like, I hate this girl. And then of course her mom's drunk. I'm like, damn it. But yeah, no, I thought that it was really good. And then who was so kind to her? Was it Susie? Who had the sleepover?
Susie, yeah.
It was Susie. She was just so kind to her and was like, it wasn't that bad. it happens, like, are you okay? Like, just the fact that she cared so much, it was so nice. Like, I like Caitlin, I like Susie. I hate Kathleen. Like, it was just all good.
Yeah, and like the whole play thing as the backdrop for this, I thought was pretty good too, just because it really, like, it was kind of the overlap between Caitlin's insecurity about her epilepsy and then insecurity with Kathleen.
Yes, I thought that was done so well, especially when she was saying that she couldn't do the show because of her epilepsy and was mad and everything. And I forget if it was Susie, but someone was saying to her, you can be jealous that you didn't get the role, but you can't blame it on your seizures here. Like, you can't say it's because you have epilepsy that Miss Avery didn't give you the part. Like, Kathleen had a good audition. I thought that was really important to get across. Like, you can't use your disability in that way.
Yeah, because even her mom says, like, I think her mom and dad disagree. Her dad is like, she should be sheltered while she figures this out. But her mom is like, she can't just stop living her life.
Yes,
She ends
yeah.
up following her mom's advice, which is good.
Yeah, I really liked this whole plot. I really liked how she had this issue. She was trying to learn how to deal with it, and then it seems like she learned in one episode to how to deal with it, and then we're never seeing it again.
Yeah. But it was still cute. I do think it's interesting how Caitlin now has two kind of big one-off plots that relate to parts of her personhood, like, you
Yeah.
know, potentially being gay and then this whole epilepsy thing, both of which happen and are resolved in one episode, but seem like they would be things that you would see in the next 30 years of her character, you know? But which
Yeah, I totally agree. It'd almost be like if Emma got all these big plots, but then they never followed through on like any of them.
yeah, I
Because
guess
I
they
think,
kind
yeah.
of, like, with Emma getting abducted, they never really follow through with that.
That's so true. I forgot about that.
How could you forget?
That was like the starter, and then you're so right. They never did that again.
So, yeah, I like Caitlin overall. We'll talk more about how nosy she is next time.
Sure will.
But yeah, this group of seventh graders, I feel like I like them more than the eighth graders.
Yeah, I think Degrassi did a really good job at setting up the grades with interesting characters that you want to go back and forth with. Like, they're in a good place to continue growing almost, in a sense. And I think that most of the characters, like the seventh graders, can handle the more like scary plots, which has been interesting.
Because, like,
But I can see why you would say that.
what were the deeper plots last season? There was Rick's abuse. He's also in seventh grade, though I guess he was held back. Spike's pregnancy. She's in eighth grade. Stephanie
Oh.
with the creepy dude.
I was gonna say maybe actually the eighth graders do have the deeper plots.
Well, like, I guess just comparing this season to last season. Like, the eighth graders got more of the deeper plots, but now it's kind of on the seventh graders.
Yeah, I think so far, well, no, I've watched the whole season basically already, so I do think that this season is way better than last season, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially with these characters. I know we didn't get, like we said, we didn't get enough of Arthur and Yick, unfortunately, but I do think what they did was like okay, but I like everybody else a lot.
Yeah, I don't think there's really anybody I dislike.
Except for Kathleen. Well, like, I love to hate Kathleen, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
Exactly. I'm maybe not huge on Shane now that I'm looking through the list of characters.
Yeah, Shane, I can't wait to get to because I would love to talk about how he thinks it's hard for men
Yeah.
to be pregnant.
Yeah, but I think we will get to that next time. If you have nothing else, Bridget.
I do not. I'm good.
Okay, awesome. So next time we're planning on doing, I guess, the first half of the eighth graders. So We have Stephanie, Erica, and Heather, and Spike. And of course, you know, the rest of Caitlin with butting into Spike's life. And then finally, we're planning on the Zit Remedy, Joey, Wheels, and Snake, as well as Lucy and Susie.
Woo, excited. Love it.
So yes, that's our plan for the rest of season 2. Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you soon.